mention prayer. Any guess? Well, it's more than 10. 650 times or more was the Bible mentions prayer. I would say that that's pretty important, wouldn't you? There are over 450 answered prayers recorded in the Bible. That's pretty awesome. The Bible records Jesus praying 25 times. And several of those times, it mentions, when it talks about him praying, it mentions him going every morning to pray or praying all night. Paul mentions prayer 41 times. So I think it's just really important to understand when you look at God's Word that it sort of lays a foundation for us, that it's really important that we pray. I thought it was also interesting when you start looking at how people prayed physically. The Bible records that people were sitting, standing, kneeling, with their face to the ground, their hands lifted high. And even Jesus prayed while he was on the cross. So we can pray anytime, anywhere, any way. The other thing that I always like to look at is when I'm looking at the scripture is just to take a look at the Hebrew and Greek words and just see, where did this word come from? Where does prayer come from? And so I'm not going to try to pronounce all of the words, okay? But there's four core words that are in the Old Testament in Hebrew that describe prayer. And the meaning of those are to burn incense in worship, to intercede, to pray, to meditate, to intervene. In the sense of bowing to pray, to ask, inquire, consult. And in the New Testament, the Greek words, there's five of those that are key. And it means to beg, pray, petition, to make a request, to beseech, to ask, to desire, to pray to God. To comfort, to supplicate, worship, pray, and make prayer. So, as I begin to think about how to talk about prayer, I think there's a portion of Scripture that always comes to our mind, which is the Lord's Prayer, right? And so God just laid it on my heart because that's what he does. I'm not an eloquent speaker. What you're going to get from me is what the Holy Spirit lays on my heart. And to be honest with you, I can't do any more than that. I don't have those gifts. But I will tell you that what God began to show me is that the Lord's Prayer is not about the words, but it's about the heart. And that Jesus, when his disciples says, teach us to pray, Jesus didn't give them a prayer to pray. He didn't say, pray this. He said, pray like this, which means that your heart has to be in a certain position to be able to say those words. So let's read Matthew 6, 5 through 20. And I'm reading from the ESV this morning. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues, and at the street corners, that they might be seen by others. Truly I say unto you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for the many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We have to pray from the heart. And so the first thing that Jesus says before he even teaches them how to pray, and I'm going to give you 6 points today, guys, all right? Here's the first point. It's the content of our heart, not the content of the prayer. It's the content of our heart, not the content of the prayer. So Jesus lays it out specifically to the disciples that we should not pray to edify ourselves with loud, long words to promote you versus God. Sometimes in church, we feel put on the spot. We feel sometimes even when we're praying for people that we have to wax eloquent and we have to be super holy, super spiritual. Sometimes God just wants me to be quiet and let Him work in people's lives. See, because it's the Holy Spirit that talks to us and heals and touches us. It's not our words that does that. It's His words and by His Spirit that happens. So, many years ago, I was a youth pastor. I worked a full-time job, and I had lost my job. And I was still going to the church every day, praying and studying and just church stuff, right? You know how it is, right, Jacob? Talking to people. And I was at a place in my life where I began to question God. You know, things weren't going right, right? You lose your job and things begin to happen and this is sliding off my ear. And so you begin to question things, and I was beginning to question God. And I stayed at the church and I was praying I was really trying to be holy, right? You know, have you ever done that? You pull out all of the stops. Well, God, your word says this, and Lord, and you're really trying you're edifying yourself in your prayer. When, quite frankly, guys, God already knows what you need, and your words are futile. It doesn't matter. And so I was at the church. Was praying, and I said, God, finally I got to this point, and I said, God, I just need you to help me. And you see, that's what God wanted to hear all along. He just wanted my heart to be right. And so, here's what happened. God didn't say anything. There was no big crescendo. There was no big answer. Nothing. So I stopped my prayer. I walked out to the car. When I walked out to the car, somebody had broken into my car. God, where are you? They'd taken my briefcase that had all of my Bibles in it, all of my sermons, had music in it, had my checkbook. And I went home defeated. The next morning, I received a call. It was a guy that owned a pharmacy. He was a pharmacist. And it was in a place in town that I wasn't familiar with. And he calls me and he said, Mr. Castle, I think I have some things of yours. I have found your checkbook and some other things. But, Mr. Castle, would you mind coming down and seeing me? I said, sure. So I went in, and he had sort of a desk area on his counter like this, and he had a Bible that was sitting right in the middle. And he said, listen, here's your checkbook, and here's some Bibles. And he said, here's what happened. He said, I was praying this morning and reading, and God gave me this word. I went on a jog, and when I was jogging, out of the corner of my eye, I saw something over in a field. And I went over and looked at it, and I found all of your stuff. And he said, I want to share something with you. And he brought me over, and he pointed at the Bible. And he began to read to me. You read it this morning. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And I just begin to cry. You see, God knows what we need even before we pray it. He knows what we need. He knows our heart. I realize that it's not how good I am or how good I can pray, but it's about how good God is. It's about submitting myself to God. And I must get my heart right before I enter communion with God. It's about relationship. The second point is, if we read and we start the prayer, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. God's holiness reveals our unholiness and need for Him. See, you can't say to God, you're holy, without recognizing your unholiness. You can't do it. You can't stand before the perfectness of God and not understand and see the own sin and unholiness in your life. So it's a heart thing that Jesus is really showing His disciples. Because when we're praying, we must realize that we're talking to the Elyon. The God Most High. He's holy. Psalms 47:2, for the Lord the Most High is feared, a great king over earth. The word fear, a lot of times we think about being scared. But God is not a God that we should be scared of. When I look at that word, if you were to really try to translate it into English, the word is veneration. It means fear. With awe. I have awe in God. It means when I'm in His presence, I'm in awe of Him. I'm not afraid that He's going to do something or hurt me or punish me. Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You are made holy through grace and mercy so that you can become, so you can come before God." Listen, I was raised in, a lot of times you guys might ask, "Hey, I wonder why this guy's so emotional." I haven't always been this way. My emotion is because when I stand in the presence of God, I know where I came from. The first time I wanted to kill myself, I was 5 years old. When I was 4 years old, I witnessed my brother being killed. When I was 5 years old, I was abused outside of the house. When I was 6 years old, I was put on high doses of Ritalin because my mind and my actions were out of control. When I was 9 years old, my dad was in a horrible car accident, and he didn't even know who I was for several years. Didn't remember things. We didn't connect. By the time I was 14 years old, I was taking uppers, downers, all the way through till I was about 17 years old. And this whole time, God's hand was on me. Now, let me explain that a little bit. The first time the presence of God came down and touched me, I was about 6 years old in the basement of the church. God continued to draw me. Now, remember, I'm going to church. I'm a church kid. My parents were going to church at least 3 times a week, if not more. And this whole time I was battling with depression, battling with hurt. It came to a point where I had to realize that God's holiness was more than my unholiness. And His blood covered my sins. See, because all during those years, I also did a lot of bad stuff too, right? Because that's what sin does. The whole time I hid it from a lot of people. A lot of people didn't know it. My parents didn't know it. My family didn't know it. A lot of times, my friends didn't even know it sometimes. I was unholy, but this prayer is saying that I must recognize that the God that we serve is holy. If I want to walk in holiness, then I need to let Him be in control. Let's go through the rest. The King, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The third point is we have to give up for God to show up. See, when you're praying, you're talking to Emmanuel, God with us. You're praying to Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. See, we're not talking to a God that's distant and far away. We're talking to a God that's right here in the presence, right now where you are. God's presence is not limited. Praying God's will is being honest with Him about what we want in prayer. Praying God's will is surrendering our lives and the outcome of our prayers to Him. Praying God's will is wanting our lives to align with God's will more than our own desires. We must give up what we want. Giving up is required, but it's not easy. It's hard. Matthew 6:31 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." Christ gave us the perfect example about giving up. In Matthew 26:39, He says, "And going a little further, He fell on His face and He prayed, saying, 'Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" How difficult would it be knowing that you're going to be beaten brutally and nailed to the cross, and you pray to your Father and you say, "But not my will, but your will be done"? It's a heart problem, guys, right? A lot of times we pray, "God, we want your will. We just don't want to do anything you ask us to do. I don't want to have to feed the hungry or talk to someone that's scary. I don't want to do those things. I don't want to have to share my testimony." Jesus gave up in the flesh. He gave up. But to God, to show up in the Spirit is why He did it, right? He gave up so that God would show up. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God will not protect you. Let me say that again. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God will not protect you. Let's move through the Scripture. "Give us this day our daily bread." I've always wondered why God threw that one in there, right? Seems so simple. The fourth point is God's provision is already more than our vision. Let me say that one more time. God's provision is already more than our vision. You must realize that you're talking to Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord that will provide. He is our provider. We should pray that God gives us what we need to sustain the spiritual and physical. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if he asks for bread, will give you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" We do not receive his provision because we know he provides. It's about our heart receiving. It's about us being in line with God's will and ready to receive what you need today. While I was doing sort of this youth pastor gig, and I told you I had At one point in time, I had lost my job and my regular job. And a friend of mine, I was driving to the church one day, and he gets in the car with me. And he had ridden with me for a couple of days, and he says, "Hey, Larry," he goes, "I don't know if you know this or not, but your empty hand is below empty." And I went, "Yep, I know that." And he goes, "So is it broke?" I went, "Nope, it's not." He goes, "So are we going to run out of gas?" I said, "I don't know." He goes, Mike Crumley was his name, and he goes, "How long have you been, has that been on empty?" And I said, "Going on 2 weeks." He said, "Okay, I'm having a problem here. I don't understand." I said, "Mike, I did not call me to this ministry. I did not call me to do this. God did. Every time I get in this car, I say, God, I don't have any money to put gas in this car. So you either get me there, or I'll be where you want me, on the side of the road somewhere." And every day I prayed, "God, I didn't call me, you called me, you do your will." And every day I got in that car and it started and I drove. God's a miracle worker in our lives. It's about the heart. It's about, see, we think that we have to pray, and this was just, see, to me, I was just praying, "God, give me my daily bread. It's just a provision." When we stop thinking about things like it's a miracle or that it's more than what God can handle, and think that everything is possible, that everything is within His provision, when we think about that His provision goes further than our vision, then He begins to work miracles in our life, in every step of our life, in everything that we do. When I trust in God, He provides. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. This next point is, God can't set us free when we are holding the chains. I need some people to come and help me. Come on. Here we go. Got my boys working for me this morning. If it's going to work. Here, hold that. Thank you. There we go. Feels good. I could really chain these guys up. Some paybacks here. Here, we can do the wrist. Last night, I think we did this, and Jasmine, she immediately put it around her neck. And I was like, and David put it around his neck, and I'm like, well, that's probably a good visual, but I don't know, you know, I don't want to go that far with it. Let's pretend I'm sin. Okay? And Zach is bound by sin. And he asks for forgiveness, and God breaks the chain. Okay? But see, David, when he was younger, he did a lot of bad things to Zach. True. True, right? Yeah. And so Zach has not forgiven David of those things. And so look, Zach, stand still. Zach is still, he's holding the chain, but guess what? He's bound. Look at his motion. He only has this much room. You can only, you still have so much mobility when you're still bound to something. And you go, well, you're not bound to it. Well, yeah, you are. That's what the Bible says. So when Zach, he says, you're forgiven, look what happens. Drop it. Two people are free. You guys can go back. Thank you. Everybody give them... When we ask God to forgive us, the chains are broken. There's not anything we have to do. We have to ask and we have to repent. Repent means to do an about face and turn from sin. When we have done that, God breaks the chain. But if we're holding on to our hurt, and people, trust me guys, people have done bad things to me. I've seen bad things. I've done bad things to other people. We all have. We say things that hurt people. People come in church all the time and they say, I'm not going to talk to them because, you know, they said something last week that hurt my feelings. God can't forgive us of our sins when we're holding on to someone else's chain. And guess what? Two people are bound. We have to let it go. Makes me want to break into the song, Let It Go. I started to make that point, Let It Go, but then I thought everybody's going to want to break into the song, Let It Go. The last point is this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You can do it, but not without Him. Listen to what I'm saying. You can do it, but not without Him. When you're praying, you're talking to Jehovah Tsuri. The Lord is my rock. Jehovah Shalom, He's our Lord of peace. Right? God protects us from temptation, but we must pray that God protects us because we're weak in the flesh. James 1:12 says, blessed is a man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say, when he's tempted, I'm being tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. And He Himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, which is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. You see, we need God because we cannot resist temptation without God's Spirit. He's not saying, lead us not into temptation. He's saying, protect us from temptation. Romans 8:6 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. So you can do it, but not without Him. Jesus knew that we needed the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. I want to ask our musicians to come back. So I want to go through this again. So Jesus was saying, every time we pray, it's time to get right with God. You understand that? He's telling the disciples that you have to be right. Every time you pray, you need to get right with God. You have to align your heart, because the prayer is not about the words. It's the content of our heart, not the content of prayer. God's holiness reveals our unholiness and our need for Him. We have to give up for God to show up. God's provision is already more than our vision. God can't set us free when we're holding the chains. And we can do it, but not without Him. In the Bible, it talks about many different ways that people pray. And I find it interesting because churches have begun to change the way that we pray and we worship. Sometimes I think because people think that it can be offensive or that we're trying to lead people to do things. But the Bible says that we raise hands to pray. Jesus laid hands on people. There were all kinds of ways. You close your eyes, right? In the Old Testament, it talks about the prayer room. It talks about going into your closet, right? How many of you heard the prayer closet, right? Heard anybody refer to that? Yeah. The prayer closet, I meant to bring it. I have a tallith. Tallith is the garment that Jews use and Jesus would have used. But their prayer closet is literally this. They take the cloth and they pull it over their head. Right? That's their prayer closet. It means they block out everything. So I'm going to ask right now, as our musicians just start worshiping, I just want to ask that you close your eyes. Lord, we just thank You for Your goodness. God, I recognize where I came from. There may be people here this morning, God, that are hurting. They may have experienced bad things in their life. They may have been hurt by others. They may have made bad decisions. But precious Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will just begin to speak to every heart. And I want you to know, if you're here today and you're hurting, or you have harbored unforgiveness for someone, I want you to know that Jesus can save you, can heal you, can touch you. I want to ask for some of our leaders in the church, if you'll just come forward. I want to open up the opportunity. If you're hurting this morning, and you need something from God, and maybe you don't know what to pray, you don't know how to pray, there are people here this morning that want to pray with you and for you. You may need healing in your life. God is a healer. God can touch you. So I want to just open it up. There's no pressure here, guys. We're we just love God. We love you. Just want to open it up. If you want someone to pray with you, just come up, and we just want to pray for you this morning.